Blog Talk Radio.
The debut episode of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. I am Double D. Joining me is, as always, Dan Law, Dangerous
Ew.
Dan Law.
No!
And we have someone else here with us. It's Mark Go Thompson.
Hey, man. Very excited to be here.
Go Thompson.
Go Thompson.
That's right. It's Go Thompson. Dan, what else do you do?
Nothing. I'm lazy. No. Co-host of the Tory Lanez Show, another Blog Talk radio show, which you also appear on every now and then there, Mr. Double D. www.tonylaneshow.com. It's L-A-Y-N-E. And we're also on the Twitters and Facebook, twitter.com/TonyLaneShow, facebook.com/TonyLaneShow. Then you got me. This is my list here. twitter.com/DanLaw83. And another side project, if you're a fan at all of morning radio or in Philadelphia radio, I archive the Preston and Steve show. They don't ask me to do it, so it's not for them. So go to PrestonandSteveRock.com.
That's quite a list. You can follow me on Twitter. It's twitter.com, Folsom County. And Mark, what do you do?
Well, at the moment, I'm involved at my old college, Rowan Radio. I do Sunday nights from 9 to midnight. You can listen at wgls.rowan.edu and, of course, at 89.7 if you're in the South Jersey area, which, you know, since we're on the internet, I'm going to assume you're not. And, of course, you can always find me on Twitter at GoThompson.
Okay.
GoThompson.
We have quite a show planned. Later on, in just a bit, actually, we're going to have Fusion DS. That's Damian Dragon and Matt Saigon. They're going to be here to discuss the May 5th battle they have with the Midnight Sensations come up. And it's an important one. It's a loser leaves ECWA forever. Forever. It's gotten to that point. So I don't know what to say about that. We also have LJ Cruz from New Moon Rising Wrestling. He will be joining us a little bit later on as well. To break the ice with you guys, I figured we would start out with something that happened at a Philadelphia Flyers game this past week. Dan, yeah. You know a little bit more about it. Go ahead, and then we'll play the audio.
Which I pretty much marked out for, and I'll be the first one to tell you, I am not a huge Hulk Hogan fan, never have been. I was a fan when he first went Hollywood, but I'm not a Hulk Hogan mark. Put that right out there. I believe it was the April 1st Philadelphia Flyers versus Pittsburgh Penguin game, and it got very, very interesting. A bunch of brawls, penalties, inseparable fights, and at 1:30 there's a gentleman, and I'll call him a gentleman because I don't know him. It's not his fault. He was born in Pittsburgh. A gentleman in the Pittsburgh crowd right behind the Flyers bench who – dresses up. I mean, he looks like Hulk Hogan, but he dresses up like Hulk Hogan. He's got the mustache, the bandana, doing the Hulk Hogan poses. And after one of the fights, number 19 on the Flyers, Scotty Hartnell, was skating back to the bench and did the Hulk Hogan call out right to him.
Oh.
And that started a whole thing about Hartnell mania, Flyer mania, and all this other good stuff. Yeah, and I was thinking to myself, I never really said it out loud because, again, I didn't want to be like, oh, look, Hulk Hogan mentioned on Flyer and on hockey. I was like, it would be kind of cool if they got Hulk Hogan to do a little message. So what happened was, it was Sunday.
And this was just this past Sunday.
It was just this past Sunday. It was 100. It ended up being 178 or 158 penalty minutes the whole game.
Whoa.
Three people got thrown out. Many fights. It was like watching 1970s hockey again. And right at the end of one of the fights that Hartnell was involved in, this played on the billboard.
Hey, Flyer fans, this is the real Hulk Hogan. And I know you've been saying your prayers and eating your vitamins, but I got one thing to say. What you gonna do when Flyers Mania runs wild on you?
Now, out of context, I don't know what that sounds like, but I wish I actually got the audio from the game because, I mean, it was like you're at a wrestling crowd. I mean, it was in Philly anyway, and Philly was always a big wrestling town. I don't have to tell you two that.
Oh, yeah.
But that crowd went, I mean, they were already screaming and yelling, and that crowd went ape when that came on the screen, and that blew me away. I was like, I never thought that would actually happen, and there he was before I could even think about it, up on the screen, wearing a Flyers shirt and everything.
So the immortal Hulk Hogan, is he a Flyers fan, or was it just...
I think it was because of the guy who was at the crowd at the Pittsburgh game, and the fact that Scotty Hartnell did the hand, you know, where he calls out to the crowd, and he just got booed out of the building in Pittsburgh when he did it. They showed it to Hulk Hogan, I guess. He was like, hey, I'll do a video, brother. Better than the sex tape that's coming out.
Yeah, right.
And, really, really, we know what Hulk Hogan is. Attention starved.
Yes.
Anything to get his face out and be relevant again, he is going to jump on. What's that? You want me to ride a donkey into your stadium?
Sure, I'll do it, brother. No problem. And, of course, you know what? I marked out because it was adrenaline was flowing, people were screaming and yelling, and I was in on it, and I just was like, yeah, it was awesome.
Oh, man. So I don't know what to think about that, though. Maybe they needed Hulk Hogan tonight because
apparently... they needed Hulk Hogan tonight. They should have played it after. We were up 3-1, 3-2, thank you. I have my sports reporter over here. And now it's 9-3 at the start of the third.
Oh, my goodness.
So
There's so much hockey left, though.
Yeah, oh, I know that. I was like every other Philly fan, like, we're going to sweep them. And of course we didn't. And I can't be mad. We didn't sweep, but we're up 3-0. Well, we'll be up 3-1 in the series. So it's not like I can, oh, darn it, it's all over.
At least you're not like that.
No, I refuse to be. And like I said earlier, I took my jersey off because it's getting hot, and I would never throw my jersey, as you suggested. I placed it down. I'm going to hang it when we're done.
Okay, now switching gears just a little bit, we, of course, have Fusion DS. They're here. They're going to talk about the Midnight Sensations. But before that, this has been a feud that has been burning in the ECWA for about a year. The anniversary of their first match is coming up. May 5th is right around that anniversary time. They have traded the titles back and forth. They're both former two-time ECWA Unified Tag Team Champions. And here's a little clip of how this match came about. This was after the Triple Threat match that also involved the Flatliners at the Super 8. And here's how this match came about.
You had your chance. We beat you in this building now. That's it. It's over. We're moving on to the next challenge.
Absolutely. Flatliners, great job. Down the road, I'm sure we'll meet you again. New challengers. New goals. New roadblocks.
You're done with us? No.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Obviously, we cannot code up.
No, we cannot.
All right? We're going off our year. We cannot.
Worth the chance. Try this, Diamond.
What?
Next time, loser leaves town.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're done.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What?
Next show we end.
Think about what they say.
I said yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're thinking. Yes, I know what you're thinking. I'm losing my mind, but you know what? I know exactly where it is. It's fixated on them. That is what?
Yeah, my mind is on.
It's those titles. I want them. I don't care. Loser leaves town.
Fine.
You,
I'll tell you what.
Make a deal with the devil. Right here.
Come on.
Loser leaves town.
Fine.
Ain't no going back.
That's it. That's it.
Ain't no going back.
Get out of here.
Come on.
What are you getting?
Okay, so obviously a very volatile situation that took place in the locker room just minutes after the match. Very volatile. You could hear the emotion in that. Without further ado, I'm going to get them on, but first, here's their theme music.
Ensure all residences are secure with all doors and windows firmly locked and barricaded.
I'm here. Step away from the window and go back to sleep. Safe from pain and truth and choice of a poison devil. See, they don't give a fuck about you like I do.
Okay, so I would like to welcome to the show, to Hell in a Cell, Damian Dragon and
yes,
Matt Saigon.
What's up, everybody?
Fusion DS is on Hell in a Cell. Welcome to the cell. The first question I have for both of you, it's an icebreaker. Who trained both of you? Separately, of course.
Of course. Matt, you want to feel that one first?
Fine. Unfortunately, I was trained by ECW original Iron Man Tommy Kyra, and I say unfortunately is because he trained me, basically took my mic, told me a few things, and had some other people train me, but I was under his tutelage and under his school, but long since we had a falling out, so I've kind of gone through the, this is where I am right now, and this is, I was trained. I've had many people along the way train me. But, yeah, I originally started with Tommy Carroll and his original Force One Pro Wrestling.
Okay, how about you, Damian?
I started in 1996 with WWE Hall of Famer, the unpredictable Johnny Rods. Also trained alongside with a couple of other his students that was a veritable almost who's who, Big Vito, who's been in, like, every promotion there is, Angel of ECW's The Baldies. So a couple other guys that came through over the years. I've had the opportunity to train with Ricky Steamboat, Dory Funk Jr. So, you know, I've taken, you know, my home placing was Johnny Rods, but then from there, of course, I saw it more as time went on.
Okay. Now we're shifting gears. We're moving into how this all started. Basically, if we go back to January of 2011, you were kind of put together.
Mm-hmm.
And your first match together, you won the TWA, the Tri-State Wrestling Alliance, tag team titles.
Well, actually, technically, it was our second time teaming because we had teamed a month prior in both of our second matches in ECWA, and we got put together in a tag team match. That one, unfortunately, we did not win, but, like, I don't know, it was kind of an instant chemistry for two guys from two totally different walks of life, and then we happened to be in the locker room the night that Maxion couldn't make it out to face the best around. They asked who wanted to step up, and just for some reason, Matt and I looked at each other and were like, we'll do it.
Okay. And from there, it looks like the Max could not make the show on January 30th. That's what we were just talking about. And then the unification match was set up in May of 2011, and the best around pulled out of that due to injury. DJ Hyde then came out. And this was the first match with the Sensations. Was the ECWA and TWA unification match. Now, did you guys know them before then?
Matt, did you know the Sensations prior to that night?
I never heard of them a day in my life. I'm not really too familiar with the indies. I mean, when I started wrestling, I didn't know there was something called the independent scene. I was strictly a WWE guy. That's all I ever knew. And then when I finally got into wrestling, they're just like, yeah, there's like this smorgasbord of feds throughout the state. And you're just like, where the hell did all these come from? But no, I did not know them up until prior to that night.
As for me, I mean, I've been traveling the Northeast scene obviously longer than Matt. Rockwell and I actually have a longer history beyond the Midnight Sensations before he was with Sam Shields and everything like that. We had our own feud in another promotion for quite some time. So there's a long history between Rockwell and I. We've had pretty quite the roller coaster relationship, so to speak. And then Sam, I met a few years ago, faced him once in another team that he was in called Team Yeah. And then I hadn't seen him for a while, and then next thing I knew, they were a tag team. And then I was watching their stuff. I always keep up to date with what guys are doing and everything like that. I was like, oh, you know, they're pretty impressive. So when the Sensations came in, I was you know, very familiar with Rockwell, semi-familiar with Shields.
Okay. Now, you won that match, and you became the first unified champions. What was that moment like when you won that match?
I think for D over there, I think it was kind of surreal because, you know, he's been in the business a long, long time, and it took him a long, long time to get to the ECWA. And when we made the pin, the three count was made, we realized that we both had our careers rejuvenated. It was very enlightening. We shook hands. We kind of accepted the fact that, you know, we're in this for the long haul now. And I congratulated him and was like, yo, you just made your ECWA history, you know, and you should be proud of this. You know, like I said, D's been around a long time, and for him to make it to the ECWA as well as myself, it's a very, it's a blessing and an honor in itself. And just be able to carry the titles that, you know, greats like Bryan Danielson and Lokia carried, it kind of puts that weight on your shoulders, and you kind of love that pressure to be associated with individuals like them.
Exactly. I mean, Matt's absolutely right. I mean, it took me a long time to get there. I mean, I had a lot of guys trying to get me in during the Kettner era, and for some reason, Kettner, I don't know if it was because of an older gimmick I was doing. That was one of the reasons I heard circulating around. It was an older gimmick I was doing. He really didn't like it too much or anything like that, and that was possibly one of the reasons. I mean, I don't know. That's for Kettner to know. I'll never really know, but, you know, it's some things are better off when they come later, and I couldn't have been happier with the way things panned out with ECWA, you know, at this point in my career.
Okay. Dan, you had something, right?
I was just wondering, when you guys first started tagging, I mean, did you guys immediately just gel as a team, or did it take a couple matches to finally get the, you know?
Well, like I said, the first one we had that we didn't win, there was just something there. Like, we just, I felt like there was definitely, like, something clicked, you know, and I think that's kind of why when the opportunity came around to face the best around, we were like, well, let's freaking give it a go. We know the odds are against us, but let's freaking absolutely give it a go and do it.
I mean,
and the rest is pretty much history. I mean, you know, we've been trying to, even to this point, still gel better and still, you know, get better and come up with new tandem offense and things like that, you know. And we're still progressing. It's been about a year and a half now, I think, him and I have been teaming, but, you know, we're still progressing. We're still trying to get that name out there and get better than what we've been doing.
In all honesty, though, it took us a while. I mean, we gelled. I guess the old adage, opposites attract, but me and D are, like, from far walks of life. Like, literally, we're on a different side of the hemisphere, and we just met in the middle and just started going. But, like, even to this day, he'll text me, be like, hey, Matt, I think we should do this, this, and this, and this, because we live so far apart. But, you know, for some reason, we've meshed well, we've gelled, and we made this thing work. This was supposed to be probably nothing in the eyes of many, but for some reason, we made this work. You know,
exactly.
And we're just going along for the journey and see how long we can push this.
Exactly. I mean, I think it's also because, you know, Matt had a lot of negative circumstances in his short career, and I had a lot of negative circumstances that had happened in mine. So we both were unified in the thought where it's like, all right, let's take this and prove people wrong. This is our time to shine and really prove the critics and anybody else that doubted us, even personally and professionally in a locker room, wrong. And, you know, we've pretty much used that as our fuel this whole way through.
And I can say, actually, seeing you guys now, since January, I've been a very, loyal ECWA fan. And just watching you guys, I mean, everything you guys have done since January has been amazing as far as what you guys have done in the ring. So I just want to get that out there. You guys, if you stick together, you got the Samoan Cup coming up as well. We'll talk about that a little bit later as well. Now, also, moving along, you had a rematch with the Midnight Sensations July 16th, and that one looks like it ended via DQ.
Yeah.
When the Sensations brought in some chairs and ladders, what was going on there?
They were literally at the cusp of another loss in the rematch. And you know what? We went at that with a ton of respect because, you know what, Sensations, the first match out, I mean, you know, I mean, we main evented the show. It was surreal. The crowd was incredible for it. And we went in with respect and everything like that. And, you know, we were about to beat them again, and I guess they saw that come. And then they didn't want to take another pin. And that's pretty much what happened with there, which set up the following match after that, you know.
Which was the ladder match.
Yes, which definitely was the ladder match.
And that was the 44th anniversary show. And
yes,
you guys won again.
Yes. Unfortunately, you know, one of us didn't walk out too unscathed from that, as Matt and I both know.
Well,
yeah,
you got a concussion from that, right, Damian?
Yeah, basically what happened was, I mean, you know, other than, you know, the brutality of a ladder match in general, what happened was there was a moment we were all down, and I saw Sam going up the ladder, and Matt wasn't quite there, and I couldn't make it up. So at best as I can do was pretty much wrap my arms around Sam's leg while attached to the ladder, and next thing I knew, like a UFC match, I had punches raining to the back of my skull.
Oh.
So a guy standing on the ladder, I'm on the ground. There was no way really for me to defend myself, so it was pretty much, all right, I got to hold on for dear freaking life, and hopefully Matt can make it to the top of the ladder, and he did. And as I saw him kind of out of the squint of my eye making it up, I just held on for dear life and just felt the back of my head thumping like crazy. And that was pretty much, and next thing I knew, I mean, we were celebrating for a moment, I collapsed, I blacked out, and the next thing I knew, I was laying on a concrete floor in a locker room.
Oh, wow. And then that led to Matt getting a title shot with Papadon, if I'm not mistaken.
That is absolutely correct.
Now, what was it like getting in there as a singles guy against Papadon, Matt?
It's funny you really asked that, because I haven't had a really good singles match in a long time. Prior to the tag team, I was doing singles, but I wasn't really getting anywhere. For me, it was enlightening. It was a wake-up experience. I did not win that match. Papadon is a great, great competitor. But it kind of woke my eyes up. I kind of felt like I matured after that match as a performer, as a wrestler, and everything in between. And after that, it's just clicked. You know, on the independent scene where you see guys, they'd be like, you don't have it, they don't have it. They look like they have a blank stare when they're performing. But for me, I believe I matured in that match, and everything after that just started clicking. So I give Papadon a lot of props in that match, and I was very honored to be competing for the ECWA heavyweight title.
I couldn't have said it better. Now,
I couldn't.
So then after that, we go to the K-Cup. Now, this is a tournament, the 8 best teams on the Indies, and for some reason, Joe Zanoli, the booker, for some reason, he puts the titles up on the line.
Yeah, that was something Matt and I really didn't see it coming. I mean, if Joe had told us in advance, hey, we want you guys to put the belts up, we wouldn't have had a problem with that at all whatsoever. But there just seemed to be something a little more, at least in my opinion, I spoke to Matt, something more, a little more backstage inner working in terms of that whole situation. And then at the end of it all, that's when we felt, you know, all right, something's up here, you know, and that's pretty much what caused everything. Because, again, Matt and I never backed down from any challenge. And if we had to face the flatliners again and again and again, no problem, you know, and we had no problem putting the belts up. It was just like, you know, Joe could have told us in advance, hey, this is going to be the situation or whatever like that. You know, K-Cup was supposed to be the, you know, it was going to be presented as the Super 8 of tag team tournaments. So it's like, all right, this is about the trophy, this is about the tournament, and all of a sudden you threw an extra swerve in at our expense without even a notice.
Yeah, I mean, he literally, minutes before the tournament was to start, announced it.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
I have stressed this enough. I don't know how many promos, how many times I had to argue about that, but it's common courtesy is what it boils down to. I mean, it's like you work a job and your boss is just like, you're in line for a promotion, and next thing you know, it's the guy underneath you that gets the promotion, and you just feel like your boss just swerved you after everything that you've done for them. So it's kind of like someone just yanked the carpet up from underneath us. I have no problem knowing it in advance those titles were on the line. But when you have a tournament, it's you just took away from the desired trophy that everybody wants. I mean, I did not see the ECWA heavyweight title defended in the Super 8. So, yeah. So me and D kind of like took the bug and like, yo.
Exactly. I mean, you know,
you're not
Joe
on our
saying,
side, so we're going to do our thing.
Exactly. I mean, Joe was saying he was giving the people what they wanted. He was giving the people what they wanted, according to him. And then, you know, and then, of course, then he quote-unquote says, you know, it backfired on him. And you know, the fans wanted both singles titles, if not one of them, on the line for Super 8. And that didn't happen.
Yeah.
And again, I smelled a slight conspiracy theory on this whole thing.
Well, see, the whole thing, too, if he really felt that way with the K-Cup, then he should have done it with the Super 8. And right now, Papadon would be a double champion. Bobby Fish would have been a Mid-Atlantic champion. Bandito didn't face Fish, but you get my drift here.
Exactly.
So, Zanoli, I don't know what he was thinking. I think it's like you guys are saying, it was not a controversy, but a conspiracy to get those titles off of you. And I don't know why he all of a sudden just decided to do that to you guys. So,
I kind of elaborated on what I was feeling. Basically, you know, Matt and I, you know, we'll admit it. We really don't have any frills. There isn't a big persona or character to us or anything like that. And, you know, while the Sensations were doing their thing on their own after we parted ways on our title defenses, you know, some people were digging on you know, the character or whatever you want to call it that they portrayed, and people really got behind them. And I think Joe was like, that could be a possible cash cow. But the thing is, I can't get them to beat Fusion DS, which they were unable to do. They couldn't beat us. So let's see. Let's see how these brackets work out. Oh, let's put the Fusion DS against the unknown largest team, again, which Matt and I had no problem with. But let me, you know, throw a little monkey wrench in it. Figures, hey, the big guys, if they beat them, they'll be gassed out for the second round. Someone will beat them, and then Sensations, by the luck of the draw, can take it all in the end. And that's my feeling on this whole big conspiracy thing. I mean, come on. He's a master weaver. That's what he's supposed to do.
Yeah, yeah. And the Sensations, like you said, they did leave the K-Cup with the titles. They wound up beating the Logans in the finals. Mm-hmm. And then we go into New Year's Revolution.
Right.
And at that, not revolution, resolutions, I'm sorry.
Right.
And that was January 7th. You guys came out and saved the Sensations from the Nigerian Nightmares, which in itself is a hard task to do. Because talk a little bit about, for the listeners that don't have an idea about the Nigerian Nightmares, just give a little bit about what it's like seeing those guys in the ring.
Okay, go ahead, Matt. You take that one. You take that.
Okay, imagine when you're a kid and your mom says, don't crawl out of bed, there's a boogeyman and stuff like that. It's literally something freakish out of your nightmares that you have to see to believe. I'm talking, we have two 400-pound guys from Nigeria, face painted like they want to shrink your head.
And a manager.
He looks like a little voodoo thing from like the Addams Family that just scares the crap right out of you just looking at them. But these guys are massive. It's like facing two Yokozunas. You don't want to be a part of that.
Exactly, and it is true. My son was sitting front row. The moment they came through the curtain, the people that he was sitting with said he ran to the back of the gymnasium.
He's It's just two mammoth guys, and their finisher is called the Dumbo Drop.
Oh,
which
God.
Is basically a superplex. The little guy of, and when I say little guy, it's still a massive human being.
It's like little like
guy,
me.
Yeah. A little Dan Law basically is superplexing the bigger of the two, which is easily 500 pounds on a prone opponent.
I don't think we've seen that security guard since that they Dumbo dropped either.
No, we haven't.
That's just a massive amount of weight just crumbling down on you. You don't want to be a part of that. So what we did was we took chairs to the ring like any smart person would do.
Exactly.
Like, we're
going
to go out there with our bare hands.
Exactly.
So you get in there with the chairs. You chase away the Nigerian Nightmares. Then you attack the Midnight Sensations in what I would say is making a statement to Zanoli.
Well, pretty much, this was the thing. I mean, any profession, the losing champion gets the rematch. So, you know, there was a lot of controversy on the ECWA Facebook page. Who gets the rematch? Well, it should be Logan, because those are the ones the Midnight Sensations beat. Well, it should be the Flatliners. Well, if you go by the actual pecking order, the first challengers should have logically been us. We were the first ones to lose them in that tournament. And then the next one in the pecking order would have been the Flatliners. And then the next one in the pecking order, of course, would be the Logans. But for some reason, the Nigerian Nightmares, who are nowhere to be seen at the K-Cup, were number one contenders. So what kind of sense did that make? So, yeah, Matt and I were kind of upset. And it was that. It was them winning Tag Team of the Year, which we thought was another big joke and a setup and everything like that. And, you know, at that point, it was like, all right, we'll congratulate you. Damn good job. You won the tournament. But in the same token, you know, it wasn't necessarily a point to them. It was a point to Joe. It's like, you know, you bet on the wrong horse.
Exactly. Yeah. Go ahead, man.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. The thing is, like, by the end of the year, the tag team division was sugar-coated for the Midnight Sensations. They K-Cup champions, the titles, the tag team of the year. It's just like, when is this all going to end? Like, they won the K-Cup tournament, and then all of a sudden, they're the best tag team.
Exactly.
We worked from the ground up and became the number 10 best tag team in the world by PWI.
For a total of five weeks.
We earned that, and they just seem to get everything handed to them. Let's put it this way.
Going back to that voting bracket for Tag Team of the Year, right? Okay, Tag Team of the Year. So they won based off of one night versus an entire year undefeated that Matt and I went. One night outweighed the total of 5 weeks we ranked the number 10 tag team in the world. And the only independent tag team ranked in that list amongst TNA, Ring of Honor, WWE, and International. We were the only independent team. We were the only team or individuals, period, to ever rank in ECWA's 44-year history. We're the only ones ever to do it. And so one night outweighed a year. And then Matt and I led in those polls up until close to the end. And every time we squeaked ahead, all of a sudden, within 5 minutes, Midnight Sensations had 10 votes ahead of us. Now, what kind of mathematical sense does that make to you? That they won.
And I'm Asian, and I like math, and math makes sense to me.
Exactly.
That did not add up whatsoever. So on top of that,
they won three categories. I mean, I don't like the guy, but Greek Papadon did not get Match of the Year or Moment of the Year as well as Wrestler of the Year. Something about that. Matt, I'm sure will agree, Papadon should have gotten the three awards and not them.
Okay, guys, we do have a caller. Are you up for a caller question?
I guess so. Let's do it. That's what we're here for.
Okay. Caller, say where you're from and who you are. Caller?
You talk into the receiver.
Caller.
Okay, they hung up. So
hi, my name's Bill.
Maybe they hung up.
Yeah, they were intimidated. I don't know. I don't know what happened there, but they're gone. So anyway, we were on a roll there. You guys obviously displeased with the Tag Team of the Year. You're displeased with how things are going. So that gets us up to the March 3rd show.
Mm-hmm.
And you won the match, but Zanoli still had a problem, didn't he?
Yes. Yes, he did. What is the thing? People claimed that we whined and cried. The thing is, we stated facts. We stated legitimate facts. So how's legitimate facts whining or crying about anything? We were never got the rematch. We were due. That's one. Number two, we make no bones about it. Yeah, we don't have a cool, flashy gimmick. We don't have cool entrance attire and everything like that. But we come out and we take care of business. And the name of the game, the word on the marquee, is wrestling. And that's what we did. And that's, you know, two of the best at it in that promotion. And it's not to take anything away from the Sensations, but I think, you know, Zanoli was like, these guys are a little flashier and the people are into them and everything like that. And I think that's what he was going with. And that's the whole point of what we're doing. It's, you know, it's wrestling. It's not TV land. It's wrestling. Okay. And that's what we're there to do. And these guys get everything more so, in my opinion, based on what they bring to the table in terms of their quote unquote showmanship, you know, and we got the shaft for doing what we do best, which is wrestling.
Exactly. No gimmicks needed from you two. And Zanoli, for some reason, he likes the characters. We had him on the Tony Lane show, the sister podcast, I guess we could call it. And
the sister podcast.
Well, yeah, I mean, whatever. But we had him on there, and he was saying how he liked the masked wrestlers and how much charisma they have and everything like that. So I think there's a point to be made with Zanoli does enjoy the gimmick over the pure wrestling.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's where we come out with true believers.
Yeah. With us, it's what you see is what you get. I mean, the only thing flashy about me is I wear a rice paddy hat for, you know, my heritage. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's about it. We don't come with streamers. We don't come with fancy colors. We don't come with these off-wall theme music and entrance styles. We're just there to do what we love to do. It's what we fell in love with is professional wrestling, and this is what we do. And we're stated from day one, we want to win. We need to make a name for ourselves, you know, especially D, especially myself. And all we want to do is make an impact, make a name for ourselves, and just go on. And what we did was basically take our careers into our own hands. And that's why we attacked the Sensations. We beat the Sensations. You know, if Joe Zanoli is not with us, he's going to be against us. And we're going to prove him wrong time in and time out until he finds another way to screw us over, which I'm thinking on May 5th when the loser leaves town, I have a slight feeling something's going to be interjected into this match.
Probably.
Yeah, knowing Zanoli, he will throw. He threw in a stipulation in the TWA title match earlier today. If Breaker Morant is disqualified, he loses the title. I don't know. So when you beat them on March 3rd, the Sensations get an immediate rematch.
Mm-hmm.
Texas Tornado rules. What happens there, guys?
Well, let's back it up to the May 3rd show for a second here.
Okay.
Now, there was a whole bunch of little controversy with that one, I'm sure everybody saw. Everybody's like, oh, the wrong man was pinned and da-da-da-da. Okay, so now we flip the sides of the coin, you know, we were the quote-unquote, you know, bad guys now, and they're the quote-unquote good guys now, and everybody's all up in arms. But, you know, had the situation been reversed, do you think there would have been as much of an uproar from people if the same situation happened to us where they pinned the wrong person? Now, keep in mind, too, these are the same guys that have attacked us with chairs in the past, and these are the same guys that laid me out with a concussion. All of a sudden, none of that matters. Had the situation been reversed, you wouldn't have heard anybody whining or crying that Sensations lost. And then they tried to say that we whined when right there blatantly in front of the crowd, here comes the sheep herder, Joe Zanoli, to protect his cash cow, and they're whining and crying to him that they didn't get pinned correctly in front of 300-plus people. So who's the whiner?
Yeah, I was there. I saw it.
It wasn't even like a thing in the back where it's just like, listen, guys, like I watched the match. The wrong guy was pinned. We're going to have a rematch. I'm like, fine, that's cool. We'll do it your way. But no,
exactly.
He called us out as soon as we exited the ring. Like, he was right there. Like you're getting in trouble at school, and the principal's right there to just yell at you in front of everybody. It's embarrassing.
And on top of that, we proved again the Sensations at that moment couldn't beat us. Again, it was the fourth time in a row we'd beaten them. And whether the wrong man was pinned or anything like that, a wrestler's first instinct is to keep his shoulders off the mat. Now, whether it was the wrong man pinned or not, the bottom line is someone got pinned. Someone got pinned.
Yeah.
So, you know, Sam should have kicked out, but he didn't. So even though he wasn't legal, he was still counted down for a three count, which means he was still beat. Was he laying there expecting the referee to go, oh, wait, you know, if that's the case, you don't rely on the referee. You rely on your own self. Obviously, he was not at his own volition to kick out, so i.e., they still got beat for the fourth time in a row by Fusion DS.
And that takes us. Go ahead, Matt.
And that takes, that takes us to Carney's point where they have to switch out the referee.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Keener, for some guy we don't even know. Basically, this Phil Sly guy just walks right in as in a referee. So, like, hey, let's replace Mike Keener. When Mike Keener was, like, the referee for, like, the old ECW, he has experience. Let's let the new guy come on in. And what was the end result of that match? Us getting pinned and losing the titles, and then we circle around. And because of that, everybody wanted the Midnight Sensation against the Flatliners at the Super League, leaving us off the show.
Exactly. And the thing is, we made no bones about it. A few weeks prior to that match, Asylum of the Flatliners put an open challenge out to any team in ECWA that they want to face them. And there was only one team within a matter of minutes of that post that stepped up to them. And can you tell me which team that was?
I'm guessing it's you guys.
Exactly.
You're damn right.
You didn't hear anything. You didn't hear anything from Midnight Sensations. You didn't hear anything from Kid America, Corey Blaze. You didn't hear anything from anyone. And even after we laid a challenge out, nobody still responded. Only Matt and I were the only ones who responded. Because bottom line is, people did want to see Flatliners Fusion DS too, as much as we did. Because you know what? Yeah, they beat us. We'll admit it. They beat us, and we have a ton of respect for the Flatliners. A ton of respect. You know, because they didn't – people act like – try to say they rolled over us the first time we went. They didn't roll over us. You sat in attendance. We went at it head on, both teams. It wasn't an easy win for them. We went down fighting, and we wanted that rematch because it's like, all right, we need to reprove ourselves against a team that we felt was great. And that's the team we wanted. Sensations had never faced them or anything like that. We wanted that match. And so other than looking to beat the Sensations at the Texas Tornado match, yeah, we were looking to face the Flatliners. We wanted that match more than anybody else.
And you got it. And
we got it to a certain extent. Yeah, to a certain extent. You know, Joe's only thought he backed us into a wall, didn't he, Matt?
Oh, yes, indeed. He made it a triple threat tag team match where basically anybody can get pinned. So we don't even have to be part of the equation to lose or even gain the titles. So we all know the triple threat rules. You know, me and Damien don't have to get pinned, but we could get pinned, and then nobody or somebody wins, gets the titles, and we lose. So our odds became 33%, which in Zanoli's mind made perfect sense because he'd rather have a 33% chance of us not winning as opposed to 50. You know,
exactly.
Makes perfect sense mathematically.
Exactly. And then on top of that, Joe actually gloated and threw it out there that he felt that Flatliners and Midnight Sensations were going to pull a double team on us, and it was pretty much going to be a 4-on-2 situation, which we obviously didn't see happen because the Flatliners, at the end of the day, are there to compete and prove they're the best as well. You know, and we still respect the Flatliners, but, you know, we have little to no respect for the Midnight Sensations, period.
Now, at the Super 8 in the Triple Threat, you didn't win the match, but you didn't lose it either.
Exactly. We weren't pinned. We did not get pinned, which, again, in the year that we have been up and down the road with the Midnight Sensations, they've only pulled out one victory out of every time by pinning us in every time that we faced each other. They've only managed to pin us one time, and that's it.
I mean,
you know, as they say, even the sun shines in a dog's ass some days.
Oh, my goodness. But
not unless it's a big dog.
Yeah. So we've covered pretty much the background. So what is this match that you're going into May 5th in Newark, Delaware? What does that mean for you? Because obviously it's a career changing match.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, go ahead, Matt. You field this one first, brother.
It's simple. I never left anywhere under anybody else's terms, anything that I've ever done. Any place I went to, if I had to leave, it was under my terms. And I'm not ready to leave the ECWA yet. I still have goals there. I still have to do this, this, and that. And in all honesty, we've been up and down with the Midnight Sensations. I would rather face another tag team, for crying out loud. It's just like every month, the Midnight Sensations, Midnight Sensations, Midnight Sensations. It gets boring, gets bland, and every time I get a headache afterwards. having to deal with Zanoli, having to deal with the Sensations, and their flashy get-ups and everything like that. I'm like, I'm not leaving, period. You know, I made a name for myself with that company, and that's all I ever wanted. And D has done the same thing along with me. And we're not leaving. At bottom line, we're not leaving.
Exactly.
Unless Vince McMahon calls me tomorrow and says, hey, come on down to SCW. And I'll be like, sure, guess what? I'm leaving. And we'll still be on my terms. But losing to the Midnight Sensations is not an option. That's like failure. Like, failure is not an option in my book. And that's what I'm going to say, because I'm not leaving.
ECWA is
my home, whether I like the owner of the house or not.
Exactly. I mean, you know, like Matt said, too, I mean, other than this, you know, Fusion DS is our number one priority, period. But you know what? He's got personal goals in ECWA, as do I. No bones about it, you know. I started wrestling 16 years ago. I was a month training in, and the first magazine I picked up covered the very first Super 8 tournament. Mm-hmm. So I have that goal in mind. To this day, I have that goal in mind. I want to be in the Super 8, and I know my time, I'm in my twilight years, so I know my time's running out, but you're damn right, I'm trying the best I can to be in Lucky 2013, Lucky 13, as they say. I'm trying to make it to that one. You know, Matt and I, you know, we do have other goals, but in the same token, don't make no bones about it. Fusion DS is still the number one priority. We have no plans on going anywhere. I've been waiting too long to get to ECWA to let this go now because of this. And, you know, same thing with Matt. Matt's waited too long being shunned down by other people, you know. Yeah, we live far from each other, but in the same token, you know, we've been traveling up and down the road together as well a lot lately. And, you know, a lot of people don't know the conversations and how close Matt and I have really become. You know, it's not a gimmick when I say him and I have become brothers. It's not a gimmick when I say he's got a head in my household. You know, it's not a gimmick when I say my son calls him Uncle Matt. You know what I mean? Oh. This is the way it is. And, you know, we both work too hard. We both know the downs. We've been in this business, and we've helped lift each other up and dust each other off and say, you know what, screw this, man. We're gonna take this ball. We're going to run with it, and we're going to prove everybody wrong together. And we're not going anywhere.
Amen. Coming from a true believer, I love the passion that you guys have shown and the fact that you're together throughout all this. Now, one of the other goals I want to wrap with this is the Samoa Cup, which is coming up this Saturday.
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about that as well.
Matt, you want to go first? Because it started out, actually, you know, we were keeping an eye on it. It started out with Matt texting me in the morning about it one morning while I was doing some stuff. So why don't you feel this one, Matt?
That was an offshoot thing. Like, it was, we heard about the Samoan Cup, but we haven't really been outside ECWA's tag team division that much. So we took a gamble on sending them a video, which D did, and I swear, somebody posted on my Facebook one day, like, hey, congratulations on being the number 6 tag team to enter in the Wild Samoan Cup. I'm like, what? Really? I didn't hear anything. I checked the website. It didn't say anything. And then I finally went on one of their Facebooks, and it just said, welcome to the tournament, Fusion DS. And I'm just like, holy shit. I gave Pia a text. He's like, do you know we're on this? No. So it's like completely just like somebody just like, hey, here's a check for $1 million. You're just like, but I'll take it. So, you know, we're competing against some of the greatest tag teams ever.
Exactly.
I mean, you have Homicide in there. You have the Black G Sabian. You know, just a handful.
Slick Wagner Brown, DRS. I mean, it's a great list of teams. And then the ironic situation for me that Matt knows is, I've had quite a number of tag team partners, but one of the first tag team successes I had was with a tag team called the Natural Born Killers in the New York area. And my ex-tag team partner happens to be Homicide's tag team partner.
Yeah, you were telling me about that at the Super 8.
So my ex-tag team partner that I won three times gold with happens to be Homicide's tag team partner, and I'm no stranger to either one of them. I'm no stranger to the DRS and a couple of the other guys. But we're these guys are amongst the best, so we're definitely looking forward to this big time, because this is another thing that we can use to catapult us to being a team to be reckoned with and at least taken notice of. We definitely want to leave a mark as one of the best teams ever.
Okay, now where is that being held? I know it's in Allentown, but where exactly is that?
I don't remember everything off the top of my head. I know I got it on my events page. That's why I write everything down.
There's nothing much in Allentown anyway, so.
Yeah, I mean, I remember I took a lot of punches to the back of the head in a ladder match.
Yeah. You see, I'm a habitual, procrastinator, too. I don't know where I'm going until about 1 o'clock Saturday when I'm punching the address into my GPS.
Yeah, pretty much. There you go.
Well, what people can do to find out then is on Facebook, you can search for Damien Dragging Wrestling, and that will get to the events page that Damien has up. Also, check out ECWAProWrestling.com. Mm-hmm. On Twitter, you can find Damien at STB, that's STB, Damien Dragon, and Matt is on there as Sagan X Special.
Yes.
So I'll be there in Allentown. I'm going to check you guys out. I'm definitely going to be there May 5th at the ECWA arena, I'm going to call it, at the Greater Newark Boys and Girls Club. Guys, thanks for coming on. I think Mark has one question for you.
Shoot,
Mark,
go for
it. Go ahead, Mark. Remember what we talked about last night?
Was that?
What's that?
Remember what we talked about last night, that one question you wanted to ask?
About the hat?
No, not about the hat. It was about the guys. Yeah.
No. Go ahead, ask it. Clearly, I'm lost now.
Yeah, so am I.
Congratulations.
Were animals, vegetable, or a vegetable? No.
No. It was in a fight. Who would win? Man Mountain Rock.
Right.
Or Van Hammer.
I'm going with Man Mountain Rock.
Who asked this question?
I did. I'm a huge fan of ridiculously terrible gimmicks and making them pair off against each other.
I'm going with Man Mountain Rock. He had the more powerful mullet. I'm going with Man Mountain Rock.
Well, wait. Do we get the stoned out Van Hammer or the Raven Van Hammer?
Oh, not the Raven Van Hammer. No.
All right.
the one that came down with the guitar versus the other guy with the guitar whose finisher was what? The whammy bar.
Was it Max Payne?
I'm sorry, but I'm going with option C, Bastion Booger.
There you go. Bastion Booger for the interference.
I'll allow you going off the board.
So,
he's like a white, smelly Nigerian nightmare. He'll just sit on you.
Exactly.
Guys, I got to tell you, it was a pleasure. Good luck coming at the Samoan Cup this Saturday in Allentown. And the best of luck coming up May 5th against the Midnight Sensations.
Thank you so much. Just don't expect a wrestling match May 5th. I'm telling you, it's going to be an all-out war.
Okay. I'm taking your word for it, because there's so much on the line in that match. And hopefully we covered it top to bottom. But, guys, really, thanks a lot for coming on. It was a pleasure.
No, thank you for having us.
Oh, no problem. And like I said, check out their Twitters. Check out all the good stuff that you can find on Damien's Facebook as well.
Go see them wrestle.
And, of course, check out the shows coming up this Saturday in Allentown and in Newark, New Jersey. Not Newark, New Jersey, Newark, Delaware.
Newark, Delaware.
Newark, Delaware, Newark, New Jersey.
Okay, guys. Thanks a lot.
Take it easy. Thank you.
You guys have a good one now.
Take care.
Good way to start the show off.
Okay, guys. So there you go. You have Fusion DS there.
Van Hammer.
Van Hammer. Absolutely.
That was the best question ever.
It was... Honestly, I know we're on the fly. That needs to be a question asked at least once a week. You need to take that and ask it once a week. You take a bad gimmick and a bad gimmick, pair them off. You ask. If we get an interview, you ask them who wins.
Well, really, the other one I'm really dying to know is what people will take over. What was it? It was Seven versus Doink the Clown.
Yes, Seven. Oh my God, fear me, you will stop me. You cannot. Oh my God, the fat Undertaker.
It was Dustin Rhodes, right?
Yeah, it was basically a dead version of Black Rain, which he later became in TNA. And for weeks, they would have these vignettes on WCW Nitro of this little kid in a room by himself playing with his fucking playing with this we already messed it up. F words. Sorry, Dean.
Okay.
Playing with these the square blocks, you know, those old wooden blocks you'd have as a kid.
Right.
And this creepy horse would be outside the window. And I'm a Nitro nut, so you got a reference from Nitro. You ask me, I will figure it out. Then he'd be at this window, and Seven would float by the window, creeping on this little kid. When does our journey begin? And they took like that to each other.
It was really the natural segue from Goldust.
Gay man to a dead man, sure. And it basically, when he finally debuted as Seven, they had this big, huge entrance where he floated to the ring. And when he got into the ring, he just quote-unquote broke kayfabe and shot on Russo and Ferrara. I remember the speech by heart. For some reason, I know it by heart.
Yeah, WCW was really good at making the worst things ever, and I loved them for it.
Oh, yeah.
A perfect example, Glacier. I loved how bad Glacier was.
Glacier was so awesomely terrible. It was so fun to watch him come into the ring, do that stupid entrance, and then win in 3 seconds. Was awesome.
Didn't he have like some sort of eye goggle visor?
He had this vest, this metal looking vest that was clearly made of styrofoam and plastic. And he had this Sub-Zero mask because it was supposed to be a Mortal Kombat tie-in.
Right.
He'd come into the ring. What was the saying in the video about the ice?
I totally forget.
But he would come in, and he'd come into the ring and do a bunch of karate moves with lasers flying around him. Kelly is laughing at me because she used to watch that crap too.
Oh my!
Yeah, the snow would come and be like, "Why?"
Well, our other guest. Not here. So, right.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
Hold on. If I get that audio, because I can, that whole Seven thing, for some reason, I can remember that speech by heart. If I can get you the audio next week, can you play it just for me?
Oh, yeah. Just send me a YouTube, and I got it, man.
Yeah, how about you just do a YouTube of me doing the speech?
I could do that, too.
I want you to take a good long look at this crap I'm in. He said what he said. They dressed me up like Uncle Fester to play Trick or Treat all year long.
Oh, man.
I don't know why I remember that, but go ahead, boss.
Oh, I was just going to say our other guest isn't on the line. So what I have planned is to talk a little bit about Brock Lesnar coming back. I'm not sure if you guys saw the promo he did on Monday night, but
forward through most of it.
I know I didn't, and I'm excited to hear it for the first time, very knee-jerk reaction style.
He said a lot of curse words.
He only said three. He only said three, but
he said the P word, and the S word, and the A word.
Yeah. Yeah, he did say the A word, but I do have the it's all bleeped out. So.
Oh, jeez.
So, I have the audio. Here it is. And, Mark, take a listen as soon as it starts.
I'm not a superstar. I'm an ass kicker. I am Brock Lesnar. That's it.
I am a Brock Lesnar.
There isn't anybody in the WWE, past or present, that has the accolades that I've got. Thrives to be the best in high school. Dominant. I just want to be a wrecking machine. In college, NCAA champion. Dominant. Recruited by the WWE. Here comes the pain. They wanted me and they needed me. In WWE, three-time WWE champion. I'm the youngest WWE champion ever.
And look out! F5! An F5 for The Rock! Brock Lesnar is champion!
Left the WWE, everybody thought, here comes a guy that there's no way in hell that he's going to make it in the UFC. But I climbed that mountain, became the UFC heavyweight champion of the world. And I proved everybody wrong. Why did I come back to the WWE? This isn't a feel-good moment. This isn't, oh, I missed coming through the curtain. I miss all the fans. At the end of the day, I don't care about anybody but Brock Lesnar. For me, this is strictly business. We need a guy to legitimize this company, and Brock Lesnar's that guy. We're tired of John Cena's bullcrap.
Lesnar's got Cena!
John Cena is not the real guy. And the only reason John is in the spot that he is in is because I left. If I was still around for the last 8 years, John Cena's the guy that would be carrying my bags into the building. There's nothing about Brock Lesnar that's fake. And it was very evident last week when I took John Cena down and busted his mouth open. This is real. What's running through John Cena's mind? I don't give a crap what's running through his mind. What's more important is what's running down his leg. Pip, the guy's scared. The guy's scared, Pip. He's shitting his pants is what he's doing. This isn't a wrestling match on April 29th. This is an extreme rules match. I got one objective in mind. Utter freaking chaos. Bring the pain to John Cena. I'm coming for a fight, John Cena. You just got a little appetizer. And I hope you like tasting that. I'm not a superstar. I'm an ass kicker. I am Brock Lesnar. What makes me happy? Beating people up, that makes me happy.
Wow. So I think
Rita Mero makes me happy.
I think that's a way you get over a angle, especially when you're kind of pushing it a little quick. Because yeah. Brock just came back 2 or 3 weeks ago, and but still, I love that promo. I think it's one of Brock's best. And Mark, what do you think?
Isn't saying much. Go ahead, Mark.
It's weird. It's very reminiscent of. Do you remember when Charles Barkley had the "I'm not a role model" thing? Commercials? No. Okay.
No,
well, at one point, Charles Barkley basically came out and said, oh, I'm not a role model, I'm not this, I'm not that, and there was this whole commercial about it. There was even one with, like, LeBron James where he was like, oh, I'm not a hero. When he went to Miami, he was like, what am I supposed to be, the bad guy? Very reminiscent of that. It's a good way to go with him, you know, because that's who he is. In my mind, you know, that's who Brock Lesnar is. He's a guy that really just should just show up and just beat on you. I love it.
And I think that's the point they're trying to get across. And Brock Lesnar coming back to me is such a great thing because Brock, I love Brock when he was in WWE. I wish he stayed around longer. And then when he went to UFC, that got me into that because I liked UFC when it first started, and then I kind of got out of it right around the time Tank Abbott really got big.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
Tank Abbott. There's another WCW moments I'd like to have back.
Yeah, so when Tank Abbott got he was being pushed as like the face of UFC at the time. That's what I got out of it. I got back into it right around the time of Liddell and Couture and Tito Ortiz. And then, you know, Brock really got me re-energized into it.
Good for Brock.
And I'm happy that he's back.
I'm happy that he's back. Maybe I'm jaded because I wasn't that... I mean, he impresses me because I'm scared of death of him.
Yeah.
But the interview was like, eh. Ooh, he said piss.
What, you didn't like the whole setup for it?
I'd rather have seen him walk into the ring and punch Cena in the face again and cut his eye open or something.
Yeah.
You know, here's the thing. Like, they had this opportunity, I felt like, at WrestleMania to make Cena the bad guy. You know? And now they're in a world where Cena's still, you know, exactly who he was before WrestleMania. So now you have to do something with him, and I think Brock Lesnar is your best option to do something with him.
Well, it's a money-making match. I think they really could have waited until SummerSlam for it, though.
Oh, I think they should have built it up more. I think it should have been 3 months of build-up.
I agree. Because Brock's only contracted for 2 appearances a month.
Oh, it's over then.
Exactly.
It's already over.
So I don't know where they're going with it, if they're going to use up all the appearances quickly.
Unless video doesn't count.
I'm not sure if it's live appearances. It's a very vague contract.
Or maybe he enjoys it, so he'll get paid for extra appearances?
I don't know. He might have some type of special options in his contract. I don't know.
Just a little update since we did it live. The Flyers lost 10-3.
10-3.
Awesome. Continue.
Oh, man. Well, they're up 3-1, though, in the series, right?
Yeah. Flyer Mania.
We need Hulk Hogan again, man.
We need Hulk Hogan. Play that video. I'm sorry. I was like, just the whole, I don't know. I expected more from the interview, if that's what that was called. I thought maybe the whole, I was taken aback, not, oh my God, he said a bad word, but I was kind of taken aback as, dude, you're trying too hard.
But that's Brock. I mean, if you saw any of his UFC specials, because they always, for the main events, they always have that type of thing where he had that type of interview style. He's just a quiet guy that will hurt you. And it works for him. You know?
He's quiet because
he's Bob Backlund on steroids.
Yeah. You got a point.
I mean, when he talks, it's earth-shattering.
The thing is, he's not like the best type of promo guy, but that style of promo, I thought he was, I think he's really good at. That's, you know, that's all. And since we're talking a little bit about UFC, just want to bring up that they do have UFC 145 coming up Saturday. The card doesn't really do much for me. It's really about one fight, and that is...
Turn you on?
Not at all. But the fight is John Jones, Rashad Evans. They're doing the main event, and that's really what they're hoping people buy it on, because there's nothing else. I'm looking at the card right now. There's nothing else on the card that interests me at all.
Now, who's the champion in that going in?
John Jones.
That dude is so dynamic in an interview. I've seen a bunch of him on ESPN. He is just a fantastic speaker.
John Jones is very well spoken. And the thing about John Jones, he's only like 23.
Just blows me away how well put together this guy is. Just really entertaining. And from what I understand, really entertaining in the octagon there.
Oh, he is. He has a very, what's the word I'm looking for? He has a very... eclectic style is the best way I could put it, because he just, you never know what he's going to throw at you. He's throwing spinning back elbows and kicks. And one of his last fights, he choked out a guy, a stand-up front face lock, a guillotine choke, and choked the guy out.
Fantastic.
And that was Lyoto Machida that he choked out. So So John Jones going in, he's the light heavyweight champion. He's unstoppable. He's 15-1. That one loss he has was a disqualification for an illegal strike. So really, he's 16-0 in my book. And Rashad Evans, he's no slouch either. He's 22-1.
Wow.
The only loss that he has was when he lost the light heavyweight title to Lyoto Machida. So
how about that?
So yeah, you have two guys. They weren't really friends. They were training partners. It's going to be a great fight. I'm not going to see it because I'm going to be in Allentown watching Fusion DS. Okay. Anything else you guys want to talk about?
Sitting here in Allentown. Oh, we have a loyal listener, Dustin from Flesh Engine, fleshengine.com, if you like metal and music, who's also listening right now.
Okay.
And I just want to say hi, and I'm sorry I gave away the score of the goal. Because you're our only listener, and I'm sorry I spoiled it for you.
No, we got listeners, baby.
No, I know. I was being sarcastic.
But, well, it's over, though. It's not really a spoiler if it's over.
No, I know. I was being myself, Dean.
Sarcastic self. I didn't know. I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. It's your show. I just work here. Now he's defriending me, and he's gonna sue me for slander.
Oh, that's a story all its own. That's a Tony Lane Show story.
TonyLaneShow.com for that one.
Yeah.
Do I have anything else to say? Are we rapping?
I'm gonna rap because
I was gonna say other than that. I won't even say it like that. Not even other than that. Raw was good this week. I thought. There was actually wrestling matches. I was laughing my butt off at help me.
Not
Santino.
Brodus?
Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, you
Truth.
Liked it.
I thought it was hilarious because it was so stupid. I really did.
Unfortunately, the only thing I really paid attention to was Brock Lesnar this week. So I can't.
The wrestling. There was wrestling. I'm sorry, it's not a wrestling show. It's sports entertainment, Vince. Hey, Pally. But there was wrestling matches, and they lasted more than 5 minutes. I personally, I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care that it's not getting steam that they hoped. I like the CM Punk-Chris Jericho feud. I like the angle they're going with the shot of him coming out of the pub.
I don't think it needed it. That's just me.
I don't think. See, well, that's why we do a show together, because we don't always agree.
Well, yeah, but.
But while you liked the Brock Lesnar thing and him pushing it, I think the CM Punk thing was, where are they going with this? And, yeah.
Is it interesting? Yes. Does it make me intrigued to find out what's going to happen? Yes. But I just don't think the alcoholic father and the drug addicted sister was needed for those two.
Well, here's my point. Why do they bring Jericho back just a job? I'm thinking he's going to get his butt kicked in this one. Or are they going to extend this feud? Well, we don't know. Or do you think they'll extend the feud further?
It's hard to say because Jericho is supposed to go out with Fozzy coming up. So,
priorities.
I think our guest is on hold, I believe.
Oh, I got nothing.
Are you sure?
I got
refresh
nothing.
I'm getting tweeted by our guest here.
Oh, are you? Okay.
Call back in, guest.
Yeah, I got nothing. I got nothing here. So.
I swear.
Once again, the magic of internet radio.
Yeah.
Don't blame us. It's our first day.
Next week it'll be 100% better. No, I do want to thank Mr. Double D, who every time I think of you, I think of boobies. Everybody does, yes, I know. Don't hit me, kill. Thank you. For doing this. Really, that's it. I was going to get all emotional on you. I can't.
How about you, Mark?
Slam dunk of a time. I got to be honest. I had a blast.
That interview was great, and
what I'm going to say to LJ,
check the line, quick.
Nothing's there, but What I'll say to LJ, we'll get him on first thing next week if he's available, and I'm sure he will be. We'll get him on first thing next week. Next week we have Bandito Jr. on.
Like, do you have his number, or do you want to just rap?
We could just rap. We're just going to rap. We'll have LJ on next week. I apologize. Something's going on with the board. He's just not there. So, is he calling the right number?
He's calling the number, but he's not much. Well, I don't know. If I had his number, I'd ask him. Ladies and gentlemen, no outline, no problem. We tried so hard to keep the structure.
Wait. The problem was, even when we hit the first hitch, we just glazed right past it. Now all of a sudden, we're just calling attention to the glitch in the show, and that's how we're going to wrap it up.
That's how we're going to wrap. But LJ, I apologize.
Wait.
Go ahead.
I was going to try to turn it around again. What do you think overall of the whole John thing? Like, you think John Cena's going to job? Do you think they're going to let him job cleanly? Two big reviews in a row, no reason.
I think it's going to be a big kibosh.
A big schmoz?
Yeah. I don't think that match. Is it no DQ?
Yeah, it's extreme. Didn't you just listen to the interview?
I was doing something, but
that's terrible.
It's an extreme rules match, so there's no disqualification. I don't know how they're gonna
cleanly. I just don't.
Well, that'd be two pay per views back to back for Cena. That he would.
He's. I don't know. It's making me nervous. There's absolutely no point to the last month. There's no point to this thing. I'm trying to type at the same time I'm talking to you. Mark, come on, say something.
It's the thing with John Cena. That, like, is this what they're going to do with him? Are they just going to make him the legend jobber?
That's a good point.
You know, like, are they going to have him fight The Undertaker next and just lose The Undertaker?
Just walk Scott Hall down to the ring with crutches and have him fall on top. Is that too much?
Maybe we can bring the 1-2-3 kid back.
Ooh, 7!
He's still available, isn't he?
7? Yeah. Yeah, well, he's still contracted. You didn't... I swear, the scrum last week, I saw Billy Kidman, I saw William Regal, and I saw Dustin Rhodes pulling them two apart. They were in there.
So Billy Kidman was where it was at one point, by the way.
Billy Kidman was excellent. Okay, wait, I think... Okay, we got him.
I told you he was calling.
We
I'm
got
so
him.
Yeah. Yay.
Okay, so with 13 minutes left, we're going to get LJ on.
10 minutes.
Hey, you know, he's out clubbing. He's out doing his thing. We're going to bring him on right now. It's LJ Cruz from New Moon Rising Wrestling. Apologies for the technical difficulties. He'll be on in just a second here. LJ, are you there? You're on with Hell in a Cell.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Hi.
All right, we got it.
Finally
got
through.
Yeah, we got through the first glitch. I do apologize. LJ, you're Mr. VIP. You're from Atlantic City.
Mr. VIP.
That's right.
Let's put a reference in there.
I got it.
So who trained you? Where'd you get your start?
I started actually at the Combat Zone, CZW Wrestling, back a few years ago. I want to say, I started training a little bit in 2006, trying out different schools, the Force One Pro School, the Chikara School, and I finally settled on CZW in early 2007, and eventually made my debut there in 2007 against Joe Gacy and Alex Colon.
Oh, okay, so you were against Joe Gacy. He's pretty big in South Jersey.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Now, where did you come up with the LJ Cruz, Mr. VIP? Where did that all come from?
You know how they always say the best character is an extension of yourself. Well, I am, LJ is name. My family has called me my whole life, so I figured I wanted to stick with that. The whole hashtag Mr. VIP and the SoFly character, you know, I kind of, you know, I've always loved clubbing. I've always loved going to the parties and being the center of attention, the center of the dance floor, you know, drinks, having fun, flowing, dancing, partying, all that good stuff. So, you know, I work hard, I live a good life, and I party hard. That's kind of my motto, work hard, party hard. I like to live a VIP lifestyle, you know. So, you know, why not hashtag Mr. VIP, being the so fly guy. The guy who's so fly, just the guy in the club, you know, you see he's wearing those sunglasses, kind of looks like a jerk off, but, you know. He knows he's fly. That's LJ Cruz. You know, I go to the clubs. I know I'm here to party. I'm VIP. The party's all about me.
who was your main, or who, not who was, but what was your main inspiration to get into the wrestling?
I always grew up watching wrestling since as long as I can remember, 5 or 6 years old. My favorites growing up were Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, but definitely Bret Hart's my all-time favorite. So he's always been my inspiration. He was one of the best technical wrestlers ever. Just defined what a champion should be. Just always was respected. Just commanded respect as a wrestler and as a champion. But was title. And that's how I like to be. You know, whatever championships I hold, it's the most important title to me. And that's how I always got that from Bret. Title, he just commands respect.
Okay, so Bret Hart's your guy growing up. What's the one match when you saw it, you were like, absolutely, this is what I need to do?
One of the ones that probably made me want to be a wrestler was Bret Hart, Mr. Perfect, SummerSlam, 1990, when Bret Hart became the Intercontinental Champ.
91, but...
91. It was one of the 2 years. That was one of my favorite matches growing up, and it just always sticks out of my head.
Okay, so right now you're pretty big in New Moon Rising Wrestling. You're part of the Mies Society there.
Correct.
Now, what's that all about going... How do you like New Moon Rising Wrestling? I mean, they're giving you a big opportunity, I think.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. New Moon Rising... I went to the Monster Factory one day, and I met with the guys, the management team, and I was, you know, just to kind of introduce myself, and I've been hearing a lot. I had some friends who worked there, and I figured, hey, it's worth a shot checking out. And once I met with management, I found out more about the company, and I heard about the Me Society, and I'm like, man, the Me Society, it's all about me. How perfect is it for me, the SoFly, the Mr. VIP? Why not, you know? So I spoke with the members of the Me Society, and they felt I was the perfect fit for them. So they debuted last month with them against Mark Angel, and we had a pretty good match. Mark and Angel and I go back. We've had our fair share of matches against each other, and made my statement later on in the night, making sure Justin America was able to get a victory over the American Roughneck. And then, you know, American Roughneck, he needed to be taken care of, let's just say. So Jake Bishop, Justin America, and I put the boots to him, you know, took care of business, Mace style.
And besides New Moon Rising Wrestling, you're also involved with Sideshow Pro. Now, where did that come from?
Sideshow Pro, it's a company that I know very well in the sense of, Sideshow Pro, the management of Sideshow Pro goes back. They're a very close friend of mine, and it's kind of a collaborative effort. Something we've all dreamed about, running your own company and things like that. So
you're actually involved with that. You're one of the guys.
Not the guy, but I'm involved in helping promote the show, helping do a lot of the behind-the-scenes work, let's just say.
Okay.
And making sure everything runs smooth. There's a team of us together, but I'm one of the people that's helped involved in that. The Sideshow Pro, it's something we have people taking care of each different part of it, and it's we found a building in Bridgeton, and we were lucky, fortunate enough to fit the mold for what Sideshow Pro was looking to do, and it's actually a gymnastics place in Bridgeton, New Jersey, and basically. The management team met with them, and we were able to work out a deal to run a show there. And we're hoping to run. Word on the street is that it'll be coming back in the mid to end of June. We don't have anything finalized yet, but that's what I'm hearing. So you can make sure to keep up with facebook.com/sideshowpro for more details on that. And
okay.
Make sure to friend them, and they will be definitely keeping updates with everything.
Okay,
it's a fun environment. It's a lot different than most companies. There's a lot of characters. There's a guy named Xerox who kind of like a businessman type of thing, and just he took a phone call in the middle of his match.
I was there, and he's the door-to-door luchador.
Yes, the door-to-door luchador. He took a phone call mid-match to make a business deal. You got guys like Mighty Moe, who's just a mix of Power Rangers or something. Nick Arcade actually plugged himself into Mighty Moe and started beating up Eric C. Jones in the match. It was actually had Mighty Moe beat him up with his joystick. It was pretty interesting.
It was a very interesting show. I really like the concept of what Sideshow Pro brings to the table.
Mm-hmm. And then you got your high-flying luchadors like Ophidian against Ryan Slater at that last show. Just a great clash of styles, and Ophidian is such an amazing wrestler and just so connects with the fans. He's a snake, literally. He's a snake wrestler. You don't see that everywhere. And then you have your serious workers. I wrestled Niles Young, who's been around the scene, former CZW Junior Heavyweight and Tag Champ. You know, the guy's been around. And our main event was Joe Gacy and John Dahmer. And, you know, they took care of business. So there's something for everyone. And the feedback we got was phenomenal. All the fans were, like, waiting for the next show. They were excited. They were happy. So it was definitely good. It was something was successful. And hopefully we can keep it a success and keep going with it.
And at that show, you got busted up. You're okay from that?
Yeah. Niles Young gave me a Yakuza kick, and it was a rough landing. I came up with a bloody mouth. And and the funny thing is, we told the owners of the building, we're a family-friendly show. You know, we want to have kids. You know, we don't do blood and hardcore like some other companies do, you know. Try to keep it family-friendly, and, of course, here I am telling them this, and I'm the one bleeding. The only one bleeding at the show. But accidents happen, and, you know, it wasn't
a... Yeah, I was a little worried, you know, because it was obvious that you were busted the hard way, so to say. And
yeah.
So I was glad that my friend Ryan actually tweeted you after the show, and he said, you know, is everything okay? And you're like, yeah, it was just a thing. But, okay, so New Moon Rising Wrestling coming back in May. They're coming back May 6th, a Sunday show, right?
Yep. New Moon Rising is coming back Sunday, May 6th, 2 p.m. in the Woodbury American Legion, I believe it's called.
Yeah.
Their website is NMR Wrestling for New Moon Rising Wrestling.com. Be sure to check them out. And they will be back May 6th. I am at this point undecided if I'm going to make an appearance there. I have some things going on, and LJ Cruz is iffy. Not sure if I decide to make an appearance. If I do, I may have a few words or things to say to certain people there.
Okay.
One being Blackie, since him and I were in a three-way last week.
A phenomenal match, by the way.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Also involving Lindsay Dorado. But Blackie and I, we have a long history going back to our DWF Devastation Wrestling days, and it's spilling over into New Moon Rising, and him and I just don't get along no matter what. Just always button heads, and, you know, last month was just the start of it. He just irritated me, and if I come, which I'm not saying I will, not saying I won't, I may have something to say to him. And
okay.
He may not like it. The fans may not like it. But I want to do what me has to do. And me will take care of business. Because it's all about me.
Now, will Justin America be back for that show?
I'm not sure if he's going to be back. I know he has some business to take care of. And I'm not sure if he will be back for this show. So it's possible you might only see one member of the Media Society, or you might see all three. So
okay.
We'll kind of see what happens when the day comes. And, you know, the fans who love to boo us, love to hate us, well, we'll be surprised. Let's just put it that way.
Okay, so big things are coming for New Moon Rising Wrestling. As LJ said, it is it's NMRWrestling.com.
Right.
Also check out the Monster Factory because they are together, and that is monsterfactory.org. And of course, the legendary Larry Sharp runs the Monster Factory. Now, LJ, do you have anything you want to plug? Anything else you want to say?
Sure. Come this Saturday, I will actually be at two shows in Vineland, New Jersey, Landis Middle School. I'll be wrestling for DTW, Damn That's Wrestling, for anyone in that area. And I'll also be wrestling for DWF later that evening. They're having a charity, a benefit show for the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and that's in Pennsauken, New Jersey.
Oh, wow.
So anyone in that area, it's going to be a great event to check out. You know, it's for a good cause, and all the proceeds are going to CHOPS. So, you know, that's always something good to do. That's in Pennsauken. And if anyone needs to search me, find me at facebook.com/LJCruzPro or Twitter at LJCruzPro. You can find me on either one, Twitter or Facebook. I'm always, you know, message me, talk to me, I'll talk to you back. You know, I'm a very friendly person on there sometimes, depending on my mood.
Okay, well, LJ, it was a pleasure. Sorry it took so long to get to you.
Yeah, I was listening on the through the website, and it still had the Matt Saigon interview going on. And
okay.
I guess it was like I must have just had it on, and must have just been like a slow stream or something, because it was on and it was like 10:25, 10:30, and I'm like, okay, I'm supposed to call in now. They're still going. So then I called in, and then it was you guys talking about Brock Lesnar. I was like, oh, maybe it's just a slow stream.
It's a little bit slower on the, yeah, it's a little bit slower. So, but I appreciate it. You're welcome back anytime.
Absolutely.
And we can, you know, make up for it. I'll probably try to get you a squeezy back in after the May 6th show. So keep an eye out on your Twitter. It was a pleasure. Everybody, that was LJ Cruz. From New Moon Rising Wrestling, Sideshow Pro. He works everywhere, and he's clubbing, and he's having a good time. So I thank you greatly, sir, for joining us here.
The nightclubs of Atlantic City, New Jersey, where I party the most, in the VIP.
All right, and that is hashtag VIP.
Mr. VIP.
That's right. So,
correct. Hashtag Mr. VIP.
Mr. VIP.
Go fly. LJ Cruz.
All right. It was a pleasure, sir.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Have a good night.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
That's awesome.
So, first show, we have Fusion DX. We go through their history with the Midnight Sensations. We have LJ Cruz, who I feel is an up-and-comer on the independent scene, making a name for himself. Obviously, he's getting out there and plying his trade as best he can.
For the record, the New Moon Rising Wrestling website is now up. We were talking to
Justin America.
Thank you, Justin America, before, you know, that guy that I forgot. and it's up and running 100% now. There's still a few pages that are under construction, but it has been updated. There's new stuff. And apparently Commissioner Crapface has been removed as a commissioner.
Has he? They didn't even make that announcement on Saturday.
Breaking news on the website.
Wow.
Dun, dun, dun. You heard it here on Hell in the Cell Radio.
Wow. So who's commissioner now? Or was it just they don't even know yet?
No.
Wow.
No updates. like I said, they got the title picture updated and the roster's updated. Live event, you can actually click on live events now. I don't know if it actually goes to the ticket link. Maybe I should click on it and find out. Yes, it goes to the ticket link with all the full information. It's actually a nice website.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Since the upgrade that Justin America was talking about, I guess, a couple of weeks ago at this point, they really did a great job on the website. I just want to get across a few websites, plug a few guys. It's ECWAProWrestling.com. Also, we have NMRWrestling.com. That's for New Moon Rising. Damian Dragon, you can find him at Facebook.com, Damian Dragon Wrestling. You can also find him on Twitter at STB Damian Dragon. Matt Saigon is on Twitter. It's Twitter.com, Saigon X Special. LJ Cruz is on Twitter and Facebook, both under LJ Cruz Pro. So there it is. Of
hashtag
course,
Mr. VIP, don't forget.
That's right. Hashtag Mr. is so fly, Mr. VIP. Mark Go Thompson is also, you can find him at Twitter.com, at Go Thompson. Dan Law is Twitter.com, at Dan Law 83. I am available at Folsom County at Twitter.com. Guys, do you have anything else?
No, just a big thanks for involving me, man. This was a pretty good first outing, I think.
I think we did very well. You know, LJ Cruz, you know, chalk it up. We'll have to figure out what happened with that glitch. But I think we got through it. We're in overtime, so you can get the whole stream at iTunes. We are on iTunes. Just search for Hell in a Cell Talk Radio on iTunes. Dan, you got anything?
Tell your friends, tell your family, tell anybody. We'll do anything for attention, man.
We are attention-starved individuals. This week on the Tony Lane Show, it is the hottest women in entertainment, the 2012 edition.
Oh, my God.
Who will be the number one?
Well, I'll tell you right now. It's going to be nah.
Oh, yeah, we do know. Dan and I do know.
Oh, we know, but you have to listen to find out. TonyLaneShow.com, Twitter.com/TonyLaneShow, Facebook.com/TonyLaneShow.
And, Mark, let's not forget, what are you doing Sunday nights, Mark?
Sunday nights, 9 to midnight, WGLS.Rowan.edu. It's a really hotbed of indie rock music.
And this is what I do, along with the Tony Lane Show. So I think
pretty much nothing else.
Yeah, I write a little bit at WordPress.com. Well, telnusl.wordpress.com. But since I've been doing this, I kind of. But a big thanks to Fusion DS, Damian Dragon, Matt Saigon. Great interview. You guys also are welcome back anytime. Maybe after the May 5th show, we'll have them back on. Next week, we're going to start live tweeting. Look out for that. That's at HIAC Talk Radio, and that's on Twitter. So, guys, any last words?
Ratzel fratzel.
I think that really sums it up.
Okay, guys.
I'm sorry I cussed, Mom.
Yeah, it was only one time. It was one time. I think we'll get by it. Guys, it was an honor.
Until next time.
Qué bonitos ojos tienes debajo de esas dos cejas. Debajo de esas dos cejas, qué bonitos ojos tienes. Ellos me quieren mirar, pero si tú no los dejas, pero si tú no los dejas, ni siquiera parpadear.